Hey, I'm Scott, and I'm an American in Bangkok. Here I am. It is a Tuesday night in the United States, Wednesday morning here in Thailand. I've been running around like a chicken with my head cut off. You know, I got back from Nepal. I still haven't gone through all my photos. Like I think I said somewhere, you know, it's going to take me a couple of months to get all through the photos and to look through everything, the videos. And I've got a bunch of videos to go up in the member section, the members video section of the website. And, you know, I think the beauty of the member section, in my opinion, is that the information keeps piling up and the videos of different areas and different subjects keep piling up. They just keep growing. And honestly, with YouTube, I'm trying to limit myself. Because now YouTube is you know, I've got more than 9,000 subscribers, and I'm divided up, you know. I'm split up with what I'm doing. I got too many things to do. And my first priority is to the members of my site, those who follow me. So you know, I want people to know that. But my book is I just got the cover back. I'm waiting for the spine and the back cover to be completed. That should be done today. And I'd say within another 3 or 4 days, the book will be online and on sale. It'll be online. It'll be available in print and also in ebook format. I think the ebook is going to be, I don't know, I'm thinking of $7.99, and the book maybe $12.99. I'm not quite sure yet. I need to really just, I have a couple prices in my head about what I think it should be sold for. And one thing that I found is that the majority, and I mean, I don't mean to slam on people, but there, it's just the whole self-publishing thing. You know, I know a little bit about the publishing business and about magazines and newspapers and how things work. And I know that there were several, I submitted several ideas to several different publishing houses. It's very difficult to get in and to get a book published, but I knew that if it was short stories, which was something that I could put together, well, something that I wanted to put together because I had an accumulation of some experiences that I've had here over the past 20 years, I knew that would be even more difficult to get in to get published. But I looked the other day at some of the books that are published, and you know, if you want a book on Thailand, I would say that you probably should go with somebody who's fairly established as a competent writer. Because I don't think I'm a fantastic writer. Like, I'm absolutely, you know, fantastic and I'm top notch. And I think I'm a good writer. And I think I am an entertaining and a writer who puts together coherent thoughts. And you know, basically, if the book entertains, that's kind of what I'm after. I'm not out to teach anybody how to get laid or any of that other bullshit. Because frankly, I'm of the opinion that if you're a man, you know, all it takes is a girl on a bed opening her legs and you inserting your penis. That's all it is. And if you're dealing with whores, well then guess what? It's another piece of beautiful rocket science that you need to implement. It's called opening your wallet and paying them. And then, not falling in love. That's kind of how easy it is. And so all this, you know, guide to this and guide to that. And, you know, the thing is if you don't know about Sinsot, or you don't know about how to deal with Thai women's families or Thai women, and you're considering getting married, then you shouldn't be at that point. You shouldn't know a girl for 6 months on the internet, come see her one time in Thailand and be with her for a week, and you're like, oh my God, I'm in heaven. This is the most beautiful girl, and her pussy's so good. Oh, it's, sex is amazing. And you're like, you've lost the plot. You've lost the friggin' plot. Because if you really need, if you need to come to somebody like me, or you need to go to a book to tell you how to deal with women, then you shouldn't even be considering getting involved with women. Now, the topic today is basically comes from one particular person who I don't like. He was a person who commented on my YouTube videos, especially the one, how prevalent is racism in Thailand? And, you know, I've had various reactions to that video, one of which is shares my opinion, which is Thai people don't generally like black people. And I don't mean that they despise them and they hate them and they treat them like shit all the time. But there is the underlying current of racism against the black people, more so than Caucasians. Now, that's my opinion. This is what I think. And this is from somebody who's lived here for 20 years. Now, this guy who was commenting says he's lived in the country for 25 years. I don't know that I believe him, and I don't know that he's all that he says he is, because I went ahead and read through some of his posts that he's made in other channels and for other videos, and to me, he sounds like a bit of a dimwit trying to be somebody he's not, and he's was a bit of a know-it-all. He knew everything, and I'm supposed to take his advice, and I've got to... Listen, I don't need anybody's fucking advice. Okay, this is the difference between me and some people who are coming to my channel, okay? Some people come to my channel because they need a little guidance, and they're intelligent people, and they just want they want to hear what somebody who has experience has to say. And for me, that's perfect. That's exactly how somebody should be. If I want to know about Nepal... actually, I didn't really go to any websites or to any, I contemplated downloading a book, The Lonely Planet, The Guide to Nepal, but, I was leaving in November, and the book, the newest version of their book was being released in December, so I decided not to buy it because, I thought, well, you know, what am I going to do? I'm going to buy the old version, then 3 weeks later, the new version's released. I was like, no, that's not going to happen. So I didn't buy a book, and I don't, now that I think about it, I don't even think I went to a website to look into what it was like to go to Nepal. I think the only thing that I might have done, well, I know I did this, is I reserved a hotel, and I looked around for hotels and what the opinions were of certain hotels. That's all I did. I didn't need to go and find some guy on the internet. Oh, can you please help me? I'm going to Nepal. You know, and that comes, for me, it comes because I've got confidence in myself and confidence in my ability to handle myself in certain situations and to be able to travel and deal with anything that comes about. Now, if I was going somewhere like Syria or Iraq or somewhere like that, I might be a little more apt to look around and try to get some advice, but I don't know that I would. That's probably what I would do. I mean, you know, when I went to Russia, I had some Russian friends, and I talked to them about going there and where I was going and what to expect, and it wasn't a big deal. Okay, but this guy, what really set me off about this guy is, first of all, people have to understand something. Like, I'm generally a pretty happy guy. I mean, I may not show it all the time. When I'm out and about, I'm out in the world, I don't I'm not like the most friendly guy who walks up, hey buddy, how you doing? Where are you from? What's going on? That's not me. I put my headphones on, I live my life, do what I have to do, I focus on what is important to me and my family, and I don't really care about anybody else, okay? I don't go out of my way to meet people. And a perfect example, there's a guy who I actually, we went to Nepal together, and I don't usually travel with people. Now, this is a guy who originally I didn't rush out to go meet him because I just felt like, I just don't feel like going out, and I just don't feel like going to the guy and, sitting down with him and introducing myself and getting to know him and him getting to know me. And I just wasn't in the mood on the particular day that we were talking about meeting up. It wasn't that I dislike the guy. There are some guys who I just immediately dislike because of the tone of their letters or their messages to me. And there have been some people where I said, listen, buddy, it ain't going to happen. Okay? And usually it's because I feel they're a little bit nuts. Now, this guy, he's turned out to be a good friend. You know, I mean, and I appreciate that because the one thing that set me off a long time ago when I first started the channel was there was one particular guy who basically was forcing me. He was trying to force me through guilt and through persuasion and all these other ways to go and meet him and to hang out with him so he could pick my brain. And I freaking hate that phrase. Hey, why don't you have a coffee meeting so I can pick your brain? Oh, Jesus Christ. You know, it's like, see, I made my way here on my own. I didn't have people helping me. I didn't need people going, this is what you do when this happens, and this is what you, and by the way, if you get involved with a woman, this is what you do, and this is how you need to treat them. I didn't have any of that shit. So forgive me if I don't kiss everybody's ass that's asking me for all kinds of advice. And in this particular case with this guy, he who happens to be a black person, he took offense with me saying that in Thailand, Thais don't particularly like blacks. And I'm saying, listen, this is my experience. I'm not a black man, obviously. So I don't know that's necessarily true. But from my own anecdotal experiences, and what I've seen in those experiences, I would say that the majority of Thais do not, well, I'd say that black people are viewed as slightly above Indians, who are treated very poorly by Thai people. Not all the time, but in some cases. And this is the thing. In order to be able to speak easily, there are certain stereotypes put in place, like Thais don't particularly like Indians. Well, now, obviously, that's not true of every single Thai, but there are many instances where Thais say bad things about Indians, whether it's they say that they stink or they're cheap or whatever it might be. But they say the same thing about black people. And yes, some of the girls say, some of the whores, I don't want that guy. He probably got a dick as long as my arm. And I mean, I've heard it all. I've heard, they're cheap or they stink or they're not nice people. I've heard everything. And I think that some of it stems from ignorance. Some of what the women say and what Thais in general say stems from ignorance, but I also think that some of it stems from their own bad experiences. Now, I'll never forget, I've seen a couple of instances, a couple in hotels where the people were screaming and yelling at this poor Thai girl. These black people from, I don't know what country, but they were African. At least it sounded to me that they were African. From what I know, it would seem they were African. And this poor girl was standing her ground saying, no, sir, I'm not giving you a better rate. No, sir, this is the rate that you paid for. I'm not going to give you money back. I'm not going to give you a refund. No, 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 no. And they were screaming and yelling. And then there was another time at the airport where I saw a couple of fellows berating the person behind the counter at, I don't remember which airline it was, but they were talking about how they got their airline ticket and they were due money or something. I didn't know the whole story, but they were quite upset. Now, you can't fault people for getting upset sometimes. I mean, sometimes other people do things and sometimes it's hard to hold back and not react. Although, in the perfect world, in a perfect world, you should try to restrain yourself and control your emotions and deal with the situation in a calm and cool manner. That hasn't happened. Now, this guy who's been writing, one thing that bugged me about this guy was he said, oh, you talk about how Thai people don't like blacks, but you don't talk about anything about how whites are. They really hate the white people. And I have no problem with that statement, but the statement that, well, really, there's a lot of Thais who love black people, and they just don't say it because they're embarrassed because Thai people are generally like white-skinned foreigners. Now, that may be true in some instances, but from my own experience and from what I've seen, what all my friends, this is the thing, I have many, many friends who have lived here longer than I have, a little bit less than I have. I have a wife who, you know, obviously she's lived here her entire life. My kids, I have people who have kids. I have people who are older than me who are my friends who are Thais. And all of them generally have some opinion about black folk and Indians. It's not just blacks. And it's not always just African blacks. Sometimes it's blacks. Now, what I think really irritates people is that I say that I don't think I've seen more than a hand, like what I could count on one hand, of black men in Thailand who have been with like women who I went, oh my God, that girl is so fine. She's stunning. Wow, she's beautiful. I mean, let's face it, not a lot of guys get girls that are stunning and so fine that, you know, they're nines or tens. Not a lot of people get that. Not a lot of men. They don't land girls like that, okay? I mean, you know, it just doesn't happen. In the real world, those kind of girls are relegated to guys who are celebrities or who have a lot of money or who have super game or have a huge cock or whatever it is. You can insert the reason, okay? But whatever it might be, what I see, and I see it in Bankapi, I see it where I live, and I see it in the Sukhumvit area, and I see it all over Thailand. If I do see a black male, generally, they are with a Thai woman who is not higher up on the social ladder. She's, I'm talking about, she's usually very, very dumpy, big butt, overweight, extremely overweight. I'm not talking about a little bit overweight. I'm not talking about husky. I'm talking about fat, flat out round like Cartman from South Park. Round. And that's okay. I mean, as long as they like that, that's fine. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. But as I said in my video, to me, the majority of who I have seen have been with unattractive women. And I think that when black men hear that, they get extremely upset. Because maybe it hurts their pride. I don't know. But this particular guy said all kinds of things like, oh, just wait until you get slapped around by some Thai guy. And I said, well, first of all, most of them don't have the balls to do that to me. Okay, the younger guys, a lot of the younger guys either are more respectful than that, and they won't do that, and they're not out getting drunk. I don't hang out with people who are scumbags. That's the thing. And that's one reason why I don't generally meet people from the internet that are on YouTube, and they just want to meet me unless I get to know them somehow. At least know them a little bit. And then, even then, my guard is up, and I tend to limit my interaction with them. And there's a reason for that. Because I don't want to be around somebody who's a scumbag. I don't know a person, then they could be a wonderful person who is a far better person, a far better human being than I am. Who knows? But then again, they could be somebody who I really do not want to be around. So this guy said something about how, oh yeah, you know, the thing about the ties is if you get into a fight, they're going to come out from the woodwork, and that is correct. Generally, if you get into a fight with a tie, some people are going to come out, and they are going to, they're going to beat the shit out of you. Now, what I've seen and what I've found, and again from my anecdotal experiences, I believe that if you're in some place like a tourist area, like a red light district, like in Pattaya, or you're in Phuket in on Soi Bangla, or you're in Bangkok and you're in Nana Plaza, and you get into a fight with a Thai, yes, there are going to be 20 Thais jumping in, and they're going to beat the shit out of you. They're going to be taxi drivers. They're going to be guys from behind the bar. They're going to be people making deliveries. They're going to jump you, and they're going to beat the piss out of you. That happens sometimes, okay? For whatever reason. I'm not even going to debate the reason, but it happens, okay? Now, out in my neck of the woods, and when you live in a place where things are quite a bit less hectic, and the attitude towards foreigners is slightly different. I'm not saying it's completely different, but I'm saying it's slightly different. Got to turn on the air in here. It's getting hot. Then when things happen, if you keep your calm, or even if you do happen to get into a kind of an altercation, things are not quite so overstated, so dramatic. And I'll tell you, I'm ashamed to admit that I have had numerous fights in my life, many, literally probably a couple of hundred, okay, since I was maybe 15, 16 years old. I've had hundreds. Now, I know people that have had zero fights in their life. Or one of my best friends in the United States was sitting in a restaurant, and his buddy said something to the guy, to another guy, because the guy was mouthing off about something. And so his buddy said something, and apparently the guy couldn't reach across the table, so he hit my buddy. He hit my buddy and knocked a couple of his teeth out. He's a big dude. And then the other guy, they got into a big scrap, and the police came, and all this other kind of stuff. But my poor buddy is just sitting there. I mean, you know, he didn't say anything. He's a very quiet guy. He didn't say a word, and this guy just clocked him because his buddy was mouthing off. Now, you know, that's unacceptable, but these kind of things happen. Now, what I found is that in Thailand, and I've said this before. I said this the other day in the podcast on my website for non-members, that if you get aggressive or you start to escalate a situation, or you even make threats of physical violence, then guess what? You're going to get what you want, and you're going to get you might just get what's coming to you, or you might not get what's coming to you, but you might take a beating. Fortunately, that's never happened to me, because I've usually been smart enough to pick my shots and pick my my situations, how I dealt with situations. I've learned what to do over the years. In Thailand, I'm trying to think. I've had a couple of fights with foreigners when I was, I mean, this is 15 years ago, 20 years ago when I first came. I had a couple of fights with foreigners. Now, those fights, aside from one that I spoke about, I've spoken about before, with a guy that was from Denmark, who was basically making the rounds in the bars, just like I was, and he kept harassing me. And finally, I ended up, when he was in my face and I could feel a spit in my face, I flattened the guy. Now, it's not like I'm making these things up. This shit happened. He got in my face, he got spit on my face from mouthing off to me, and I said, fuck this, enough. And I lit him up, And I'm not the greatest fighter by any means. I don't want to sound like, you know, I'm Bruce Lee or I'm, what's the guy's name? Emelianenko Fedor. You know, I'm not saying that. But I, when, especially when I was younger and I was very, very fit, I was able to hold my own against most guys. Especially guys who had no skill. I mean, if they were unskilled and they didn't have it in them to be a fighter, then forget about it. They were history. I would smoke them because I had trained extensively. And so, you know, that little bit sometimes makes a big difference. But here in Thailand, I mean, you know, I had a couple of fights with Thais. I spoke about one the other day where there was a guy, and he was a Thai guy, and he mouthed off about a girl that I was with, and I said, "What do you say, man?" And he got really aggressive towards me, and then he said exactly what he said, which was, "This chick's a whore," and she wasn't a whore. She was just a decent chick who I was out with, having a good time, and the guy, you know, for whatever reason, because she was with me or whatever, he gave me a hard time. And so when he said it the second time, I hit him, and I knocked him out with one punch. He was out. And then the girl said, "You know, I think this guy's a police officer." And I was like, "Well, we better get out of here." And we left. Another time, let's see. Oh, no, well, that was a foreigner. That was a if anybody goes into the beer garden, there are people there who have been working there for 20 years. There are people there who know me. When I walk in, they greet me. "Oh, how are you? How's everything? What's going on?" I'm sure they still remember me. There are a couple of people, not so many women anymore because they tend to move on. But there are a couple of guys, one guy who was a manager, and there was a situation once where a guy was berating the cashier girl, the girl who was the cashier, and he had said he gave her 1,000 baht. And she said, "Listen, I put the money on the thing here. It wasn't 1,000 baht, it was 500 baht. And the guy just went off and went off and went off and went off. And finally, you know, I got tired of hearing the guy scream. He was a little bit drunk, and I said, "Dude, you know, you need to mellow out." And he told me to fuck off. And I said, "That's not very nice." I said, "You know, they're going to throw you out of here. They're going to beat the shit out of you. Maybe, you know, you should just mellow out." I said, "You know, but whatever, you do what you want." And he came over and he poked me in the chest and said, "Fuck you." And I hit him. And, you know, that was the end of that. But there have been some Thais who I had instances with. And one was on a street near Lumpini Stadium when I was walking with some boxing equipment. I had a bag full of equipment. I was walking. I was on a sidewalk. A guy was on a car. I've told this story before. Guy's in his car. I'm walking down the sidewalk, and he just apparently wasn't thinking, wasn't looking where he was going, and he kind of rolled through the sidewalk. And I saw him coming, and I kind of like moved to my right to try to just move out of the way of the car so I wouldn't get hit. But it was too late, and he bumped me in my leg, and it hurt. I mean, you know, it was like I kept walking, but I was like, "Damn, that hurt, man." You know, I looked at the guy. I was like, "What the fuck, you know?" And so the guy, I didn't know anything. I just kept walking, and I was actually walking up to a place to get something to drink and to settle myself and get all my bags straight, because I had a bunch of stuff. I had a bag full of equipment. I had a backpack. I had all kinds of stuff, like I usually do when I'm walking around. And I started walking down the street, and I saw the same car pull over on the side of the road, and the guy got out, and he started saying things to me, and I thought, actually, I just got into a fight with the guy who was berating the cashier, and I had, I hit him with a jab, and he stood there, and he didn't know where he was for a second. I thought, I can knock this guy out, and I thought, you know what, I'm not going to do anything, because I've had enough problems already. And if I get into a fight, my wife is going to be pissed. So I thought, I better not finish the guy. And he was in a bit of a fog, and he starts walking out with his girl. His girl's walking him out the street, and she's trying to hold the guy back, and the guy keeps wanting to come back. And I said to the girl in Thai, I said, "You know, I'm going to stick his beer bottle up his ass if he comes at me again. I'm going to take that beer bottle up and ram it up his ass and leave him out in the middle of the fucking street." I was pissed off at that point. And, you know, who knows what happened. I might have took a crack over the head, but, you know, whatever. I would have ended up putting that bottle up his ass, like I said. And, you know, it's not, like I said, it's not like I'm this big tough guy. You know, the guy wasn't 6'6 and 340 full of muscle. But he was a decent-sized guy. And, you know, I just figured, fuck it. You know, I'm not going to put up with this shit. I don't give a shit how big somebody is. You know, there's a point where you just got to go, hey, you know, if I have to take a beating to stand up to this person, I'll do it. You know? So, anyway, I'd already had that situation. I didn't want to get into another fight. And the guy came up to me and started saying things to me like, what the fuck are you looking at? And that kind of thing. In Thai. He's, you know, he's calling me an Ihea and all these other things. And I said to him, dude, what's your problem? You hate me. I didn't do anything wrong. You just don't like me looking at you because I'm a foreigner. So you don't like it. And I didn't want to get into a fight. And I was actually standing a little ways behind the pole because I knew if he was to come to me, I could kind of step a little to the right and the pole would be in his way. He wouldn't have a clean shot at me. And he came at me, and I moved to the side, and then he had to come around a little bit more to the pole, and he took a step like he was getting ready to hit me. I hit him with a jab and a right cross and busted his nose wide open. He started bleeding all over the place, and he got pissed. And he reached down on the ground and grabbed a piece of metal that he saw, and he started trying to stab me. And then he threw a kick at me, and I actually stumbled backwards. I fell in, through some bushes, and I thought, oh, shit. And he started throwing some kicks, like he knew what he was doing, but his kicks were shit. I mean, compared to somebody who is like a Lumpini Stadium champion, who I've been in the ring with before, and I know what it's like to get kicked by them, it hurts like shit. The guy didn't kick hard, so I put my arm up, I blocked it with my shoulder and my forearm. You know, just like you're taught to do, you just curl your arm back, and he kicked me a couple times in the arm. Finally, I managed to get up, and then I actually kicked the piece of metal out of his hand, and I just took a step at him like I was going to throw a jab and a cross. And once he knew he didn't have the metal in his hand and that I was okay, he got scared because he knew that I guess he knew. I mean, I'm assuming that he couldn't handle the hand speed. I mean, because you know I hit him with a 1-2 and he didn't even know what the fuck hit him. And it's very easy, that's the thing about boxing, is it's very easy to get yourself to where you're semi-proficient. And I mean, you know, I've thrown a 1-2 cross, or a 1-2 hook rather, a 1-2 hook, uppercut, right cross, left hook. I've thrown those combinations thousands of times. So to throw a little combination, if you land, and you land solid, and if you got any kind of a punch, it hurts. And the guy hurt, and he didn't want any more. And at that time, what happened was somebody must have seen what was happening, and they went to the shop where I bought the equipment, because I and my wife are friends with these people. We're good friends with them. We've known them for 22 years or something. Okay, I don't know about my wife, but I've known the people for like 22 years. As long as I've been coming to Thailand, even when I didn't live in Thailand, I used to go to the shop. And the woman came down, and she kind of said to the Thai guy, hey, you need to stop. This is the police are coming. And the police came. And the Thai guy was bleeding all over the place. His shirt was covered up with blood. And he's telling me, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. And I said, you mean like you got me now? I'm not the one who's got blood all over me. I'm like, you hit me with the car. You got what's coming to you. You wanted a problem, and you got it. And the police said to us, hey, do you want to press charges? I said, no, I don't want to press charges. He said to the Thai guy, do you want to press charges? No, but I'm going to get this guy. And the police actually said to the guy, you might not want to say that. Don't say that. They didn't want to know about it. It was like, hey, if you're gonna say that, then it's going to make, we're not going to let the issue drop. So the guy shut his mouth and walked away with his head down, with a bloody shirt, and he got the fuck out of there. Now, there were people around. Nobody jumped in. None. You're talking about on a huge street. Okay, this is Rama 4. Which, the old Lumpini Stadium. This is when the old Lumpini, this is, I don't know how many years ago, maybe 12, 13 years ago, something like that. And then, the only problem that I've had in recent times was maybe 6 months ago, where I usually take a motorcycle from my house to the mall bunkaby, or to the post office, or to the hospital. I usually just take a motorcycle because there are shortcuts you could take that drastically save time, and it's very inexpensive. And I have one driver in particular who I usually use. Now, that driver's not always available, but most of the time, for me, he knows me. He'll say, can you wait 10 minutes? I'll be there and I'll pick you up. Okay, we have an agreement where, you know, he gives me a fair price. I know he doesn't dick me around. He drives safely, and he's a nice guy, and we laugh, and we've known each other for a couple of years, and we talk, and, you know, there's no problem. We have lunch together once in a while. I'm getting a bit of a cold. So one time, I tried to get the guy. He wasn't available, and I flagged down this guy. He's driving the motorcycle. He stopped. Where do you want to go? I said, go to the post office. We start going to the post office. And a little ways, we're driving down the street, and I thought, man, this guy smells like booze. I'm like, ugh. And then I noticed he was driving a little bit erratically, and I thought, well, we're almost there. We're halfway there now. I'm not going to say anything, you know. And we start going. I don't remember exactly how everything came about, but we started going in one via one path. And I said, "Listen, why don't you just take a left up ahead and just stop, and I'll get off, and you know." And he got mad because I think what happened was he got mad because I didn't want to go the whole way because I figured I'm just going to walk down the street. I don't want to have to be on the bike with this guy because he's a fucking loon and he's drunk. So he got pissed off, and so he drove in a little bit different direction. We could have still got to where we wanted to go, where I wanted to go, but it would have taken longer. He went a different direction. I said, "Where are you going? What the fuck, you know? You know where I want to go. Why the fuck did you not go where I said? What the fuck is your problem, you asshole?" You know, I mean, it just pissed me off because it was like, he just totally ignored what I said just because he felt like, fuck you, I'm doing what I want. And it's like, if I'm paying you for your service, then give me the service that I fucking want, pal. So what he did was he stopped, and it was farther away because we hadn't went my path, we hadn't went my route. We stopped and we were a bit far away, and I said, "Why are you stopping? Get off." I said, "Okay, fine. Why are we stopping, though?" He started going off, and I said, "Listen, you're drunk. You're drunk and you're driving. Shut up and get out of here. But you really should have taken me to where I'm going." He said, no. And so then it was like it was a 50 baht fare or something. And I said, "I'm not giving you the full 50 baht." Now, I didn't have to do that. I could have just gave him the 50 baht and said, fuck it. And that would have been the smart thing to do. But of course, I was like, "Dude, you didn't take me the whole way. I'm not giving you the whole 50 baht." And he got pissed off. So he got off and he acted like he was going to start a fight with me. Like, he got off, he took his helmet off, put his hands up. And I said, "Oh, okay, you want to go? Fine." And I put my hands up and I threw a feint at him. And I knew right then he couldn't fight because of how he reacted. I knew he was just trying to intimidate me. And I said, "Come on, let's go. Let's go." Now, around this time, a couple of other taxi drivers saw what was happening. They were within walking distance of where we were. And the guy starts to go back onto his motorcycle. And I start walking away. And they said, "What's the problem with this?" The guys walked up to me and they said, "What's the problem?" I said, "The guy's drunk. He's drunk and he's driving me around." I said, "This is bullshit. And he's not taking me where I gotta go." And they left me alone. And then the guy came back, got off the motorcycle. Well, he was getting on a motorcycle before. When he heard me talking to the guys, he got off and started coming over. Maybe because he thought, "Oh, well, I've got strength in numbers now." And the guy started to do something, and I came at him and I said, "You don't want to fight me, man. You don't want to fight me." Because he was an older guy, but I could clearly tell this guy didn't know how to fight from the way he stood and the way he moved. And you know, he was an older guy, and you could tell he probably was a guy who, I don't know, maybe when he was younger, he was okay. He was just, you know, healthy, strong guy. But he just looked like he was he looked like he was, you know, my age, but an old 53. I mean, you know, maybe he was only 45 for all I know. I don't fucking know. And when he came at me again, I said, "You know, I don't want to fight you, but you don't want to fight me, believe me. I don't want to get into a fight." And then when he thought that I wasn't going to do anything, he took another step, and I threw a little shoulder feint, and he was like, "Oh shit!" And that was the end of it. And the guys who were the Thai guys, there was a couple of Thai guys. There was two or three of them that were they were probably about 15 feet away from me, and I kept my eye on them because I thought, you know, I'm not going to let this happen. And that was the end of it. When I walked back to the guys, I said, "The guy's fucking drunk. He's fucking drunk driving his motorcycle, driving people around." Now, what I found out was the guy was not really a licensed driver, and he was using somebody else's vest. And, you know, he could have got into a lot of trouble. And what happened after that was even more surprising, because the very next day, I saw him. Because he's right down the street from my house, which I don't like getting into conflict with somebody who's near my house because of my family. He saw me and he actually drove up and he said, "Hey, I'm very sorry, I'm very sorry." And I said, "Oh, it's okay, no problem." I just said, "Okay, fine. No harm, no foul. That's the end of it." And that was the end of it. Now, I also made a comment the other day about a guy who, he was an older guy. As soon as I got into the taxi, I kind of felt like, this guy has some kind of an attitude. I took a grab taxi to the airport the other day, and it was a young guy. And I said a couple words to him. I said, "Hey, how you doing?" And then when we drove off and everything, I said, "Hey, is this your taxi?" Because it was all done. It was brand new. It was nice, and you know, he had it all customized. He had his little Buddha thing painted on the ceiling and everything. He goes, "Yeah." And that was it. It was not the most talkative guy. Now, I don't know. Who knows? The guy could have had a fight with his girlfriend. He could have been in bed. So I didn't talk to him anymore. We get to the airport. And I think he realized, because I think the fare was like 185 baht. And I gave him 220 baht. Now, I didn't have to give him a 220 baht. I just did it because I thought, this guy's a young guy. He's obviously just starting out. He got a brand new taxi. It was his taxi. Maybe he's worrying about how he's going to pay the bills. He's worrying about, you know, is this girl going to run off on him because he doesn't have enough money? Who knows? I just figured, you know what? I'll do something decent. And I gave him a little tip. You know, I didn't give him a 5 baht tip. I gave him a 35 baht tip. I didn't have to do that. And he looked and goes, "Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you." And I thought to myself, well, there's an idea that I had in my head that this guy was maybe had some kind of a problem. And, you know, he was mulling it over or whatever. But he wasn't angry at me. Now, in the case of this guy that I'm just talking about, this guy seemed angry at everybody. He just seemed like one of those guys who was just pissed off and bitter against the world. And when I told him which way to go, and then he missed it, and I said, "Hey, buddy, you know, go back and go this way." I told him exactly which way to go. I knew how to get there. He again went the wrong way, and I asked him. Then I said, "Hey, what the fuck are you doing, man?" I got pissed off because I mean, when you screw up like three times and don't go the way that you're supposed to go, and you take whatever route you want to go, "Oh well, you know, just I'm the driver." No, fuck you. That's not how it works. I'm the passenger, and what I should have done is just got out of the car. But I wasn't in a place where I could get out of the car, and I wasn't in a place where I could get out of the car and get a taxi. I would have been standing there forever. So after the third time, the guy turned around and smacked me. He smacked me in the head, and I punched him in the face, and I knocked him out. And then I got out of the taxi, I started walking away, and I hear the taxi door open, and he comes out, and he's got a machete in his hand. And I just thought, holy shit. And fortunately, I was able to just kind of like scamper away, and I just was like, well, you know, hey, if he wants to fight without the machete, that's a different story. I mean, maybe we could do something. But when you get take a machete, when you put a machete into play, I'm no Bruce Lee, and I'm not the, you know, willing to stand there and take a chance, and I just figured it's better. I just kind of stay out of range. And that was it. But, you know, this had nothing to do with my skin color, which is, at the end of the day, this is what everything is about when it comes to this person who's been posting on YouTube who's always talking about color. One thing I just despise is when there is nothing being said that's racist. I didn't say a fucking racist thing in my "How prevalent is racism in Thailand?" I didn't say anything that would somebody could deem they could deem me as a racist. I just said this is my opinion of how Thai society is. Listen, Thais are discriminatory against whites, against foreigners. It doesn't matter what color their fucking skin is. And it's not always the case, but many times it is. But what I've seen is that against blacks, especially African blacks, and Indians and Pakistanis, they tend to be far more racist. Okay, if you got me and a black guy and a Pakistani guy going to check into a hotel, they might allow all of us in and it might not be in any issue at all. Or they might say, okay, sir, you can come in, and I'd be right in. And then I'd walk downstairs and the two guys would be arguing, saying that they had a reservation or something like that, and the Thais telling them, no, you don't. Now, I used to stay in a place that was, I had a nice apartment overlooking the Sukhumvit area, if you can call a nice view. But it was a good view. It had a view of the SkyTrain going by, and there was a nice view of the city. And I think, all told, I think the bill every month was something like anywhere from $1,250 to $1,500 a month. That was the rent, the electric, the internet, the maid, cleaning, everything. And I had a nice place there. And the place for, like, the top floors were apartments, the bottom floors were hotel rooms. And consistently, the ladies who worked the front desk and who worked the reception area would not allow African blacks to check in. Now, I never really said anything, but there was one instance where the woman said to me, they bring too many problems. Every time we let them stay here, there are problems. Problems with the room, they bitch about how the rooms are, there's too many problems. Now, I don't know, maybe she's just racist. Maybe she has a valid point. I don't know. But when I get people who are instigating problems, like this guy was, and I think his name was Black Pelagasian or something like that. And he comes off like he knows everything about Thailand. I don't know shit. And he's like, oh yeah, what are you going to do with 10 Thai guys? The whole reason I brought up the fighting is not because I'm proud of it, because I'm not. Okay, I would much rather that my life had went in a different direction when it came to the number of women I slept with, because that is not necessarily a reflection of being a stud as much as being needy or being always wanting to have a woman around you or always wanting to have a woman in your bed and feeling better when you have that. Not that that's necessarily a bad thing, but when it's done in excess, I kind of think to myself, well, you know, I could have done things a little bit differently. But whatever, the past is the past. And also with the number of fights that I had, this was an issue with me. It wasn't an issue necessarily that needed to be resolved physically. Because quite often, situations can be resolved by walking away or simply communicating in a more rational fashion. I think that when somebody tell, when the, like this guy said, oh, they're going to slap you. First of all, most Thais will not get physical with you if they are decent Thai people. And by decent Thai people, I mean people who, they just are not brought up to be that way. I'm not talking about them having money or having a great education or anything like that. I'm talking about they have an upbringing that teaches them that you just don't get physical for no reason. Or because you've had a couple of drinks and you got a white guy around and he's not paying for the beer. So I don't get into situations like that very often where guys are going to beat the shit out of me. And the other thing is that I've been in the ring and in the gym with some of the best pro boxers and even some MMA guys. But that was a long time ago before it was really MMA. But boxers, and I'm comfortable around people who know how to fight. And I've picked up a few things along the way. So I'm comfortable with myself. I don't really worry about physical confrontation because I'm surrounded by a bunch of Thai guys. But if I am surrounded by a bunch of Thai guys, it's usually people who are my friends and who the chance of, who there is very little chance that something negative and something physical is going to happen. I've been at weddings, I've been at parties, I've been just at little household get-togethers with Thais, and the Thais were drunk, and they even, some of them were even bugging me for money to buy more beer or whatever, and I always know how to handle the situation. Just like when I take photos and I'm on the street and somebody gets a little carried away, or they're bugging me for money or whatever, or they get a little nasty, I know how to deal with the situation. I'm not stupid. I'm not some guy who is going to just jump in and say, you know, let's go at it. I don't have to do that. Because I know the repercussions sometimes. Sometimes there's a guy who might have a gun and he might just shoot you. So, I have a fair ability to assess certain situations. And when, generally, if a Thai guy has ever attempted to put his hands on me, he's either got knocked the fuck out straight away, or the situation was where I just said, that's it, I'm out of here, and I left. And in one instance, which I'm not going to get into, I wasn't able to do anything, because as soon as the guy did that, and it wasn't a smack in the head, the guy smacked me on the shoulder, like he was above me or something, and I started to go after the guy, and about 10 Thais got in between us and said, no, 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 no. Now, this was somebody that I worked with at one time, many years ago. And they got in between us because they knew it wasn't going to be pretty, and that not necessarily that I was going to beat the shit out of them, although I probably would have in this case, but because they didn't want a workplace situation to get out of hand, and then both of us got into trouble or had issues in the future. They were smarter than that. And they didn't jump on me and beat the shit out of me. And I honestly, to tell you the truth, for a week or so, I was considering going in and stabbing the guy in the neck with like a pen. And the actions of some of the Thais, I told the Thais, I said, you know, I'm going to stab this motherfucker in the neck. I mean, you know, I get a little worked up. I get a little crazy, and I was actually thinking, I'm going to go stab this guy when he's not looking. I'm going to stick him in the neck and then beat the shit out of him because of what he did. Because, it, you know, at my age, I just think, like, you know, aren't we past this? I mean, you know, at my age, at the time, I was, I don't know how, it was, you know, it was 10 years ago or whatever it was. And I'm just thinking that. I'm thinking to myself, what kind of a situation is this? I don't need to be in this kind of shit situation. And you know that not long after that, the guy got canned. In essence, he was canned. That's all I'm going to say. And he was canned because he was a prick. And he fucked everybody around that was around him, and he started problems with all kinds of people. And to this day, the people who know me, who I still communicate with from that particular job, they were like, God, we're so happy he didn't do anything, because it would have just caused so many problems. Because I really, you know, I thought to myself, I'm gonna go get a nice pen, and I'm gonna walk up with the thing hidden in my hand, and I'm gonna go stick them. And that's how I think. So when somebody goes online and says, "Oh, they're gonna smack the shit out of you," first of all, they might smack the shit out of me. It's true. People get hurt here, and you got to be careful, and you don't want to get yourself in situations. And I'm very good about knowing how to keep myself out of situations. And what's funny is, it's guys like this, and then there's, you know, there's guys, what I find, a lot of guys who, they may have come to Thailand for a few months and visited once in a while, but maybe they met their wife here in Thailand, and then they moved back to the U.S. or to wherever, or maybe they met their wife in another country, and she's Thai. And then, like, in the one particular video with the girl who worked in the pork stall, who I had spoken to before because I had photographed that area. I knew her. I knew the girl. So I was messing with her in the video just because I felt like messing with her and because I knew her and she knew me and we got along. It was, like, not a big deal. And then guys come, "Oh, you're an asshole. You don't know anything about Thai culture. You don't know about Thai women. You don't know how to treat them. I'm surprised. Oh, you've been there 20 years and you don't know shit." Oh, my God. Shut the fuck up. I mean, I'm not a dummy. I'm not one of you guys who comes over, falls in love in fucking 3 days because you've been talking to some girl for 3 months on Skype, and she just sets aside an hour every day for each guy that she's with, and then you happen to come get her, and then she's like, hey, the gravy train's here. Might as well hop on the motherfucker. That's not me, okay? You know, and I'm happy with my life. That's the thing. I'm happy with my life. I got a great life. And it's only going to get better. So, when I get people like this coming to my YouTube channel, well, one thing is this is one reason I don't really care if I do many YouTube videos, because what I want is, although the YouTube viewers I have, most of them are very loyal, and they have been following me for quite some time, or they like what I do, okay, great. If you like what I do, then you subscribe, and you follow, and you watch. If you don't like what I do, you know, to me, it's like, if you want to bitch one time, okay, bitch, and that's it. Then don't watch me anymore. Turn the fucking channel, change it, I don't give a shit. You know, I mean, whatever. I don't like everybody in the world, and I don't expect everybody to like me. So it's very simple. But this is, I get these kind of people. And you know, of course the guy, when I wrote back to the guy, hey, buddy, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You don't even know that. What you don't know is I know this girl. What you don't know is that her boyfriend is standing off to the side. The girl doesn't even work there anymore because she went and got married. I thought she was married. She was engaged to be married. A lot of times in Thailand, a woman will call her boyfriend her husband. When in effect, he's still just her boyfriend. But she went and actually married the guy. And all these guys, oh my God, she's so gorgeous. She's so beautiful. She's this, she's that. And I'm like, oh please, she ain't all that. Okay, really. Because you know why? Because I'm there in the flesh, around her. I know how she is. I know how she dresses. I've seen her dressed in clothes where she's not working behind a pork stall. And I knew that, you see, here's the thing that I think a lot of guys fail with when they come to Thailand. I got to wrap this up because this is getting a bit long-winded. They come and they see a girl and they go, oh my God, she's so beautiful. Oh, and she's so sweet. But what they don't understand is that maybe they are an attorney or I'm not addressing anybody in particularly to all those members who are attorneys. Maybe the guy's the owner of a huge company, or he's a vice president of a corporation or whatever it might be. He's up there. He's attained quite a bit in his life. And he meets this girl who, because she's got a nice pair of tits and she's cute and she sucks a mean dick, or because she's such a sweetie pie, as some guys like to say, that he feels like, oh my God, I this is the girl for me. When in reality, what most men should do is bide their time and wait and kind of like weed through and say, this girl, nice girl, very cute, but you know, we're not at the same emotional or intellectual level. And I think that if I really think about it and think about the future, it's probably not going to be a great, there's not going to be a great result from this kind of a gathering. So I think that in guys who are doctors who come here don't generally hook up with a girl who is an uneducated rice farmer. It doesn't work that way. At least, it doesn't work that way and end up working for the long term. It's hard enough for it to work long term if you have the same interest or if you have something that draws you together and you both want to be together. Okay? Now, in my case, I mean, you know, like, hey, if I was to say anything about my wife, the one thing that, she's a freaking hard worker. I'll give her that. She works very hard, and in most cases, she's very intelligent. She's, she communicates well sometimes, better than some. And her English, we never speak Thai to one another. We speak English. And I think that, for whatever reason, that is a bonus for me, okay? But there was a time I had a girlfriend before I met my wife. I had a couple of girlfriends, but one of them in particular, from Udon, she's a very nice girl, but I was bored out of my head with her because she didn't know shit about life. She didn't know about, you know, anything about outside of Thailand. She didn't have lofty aspirations, and she didn't have goals in her life. It was just wake up in the morning, eat, maybe take a ride on a motorcycle and go somewhere and buy some food for dinner, hang out, check how the rice is doing, and then dinner time, make dinner. And, you know, for me, that wasn't enough. I didn't find that intellectually stimulating enough. I think this is something to consider, and I think that a lot of people who go on the net or who come to Thailand, they really need to think about what they're doing and how they're interacting with women and how they're interacting with other Thais. Because, you know, here's the thing. Although I've had a couple of fights, I mean, listen, these fights could have taken place anywhere. Okay, I mean, I've been in other countries and I've had situations that got out of hand, and fortunately, I extricated myself from them rather easily. But that's not to say that any of it has to do with skin color. None of it ever has had anything to do with skin color in my case. And what's funny is that I've got, let me think here, back in the U.S., I've got one guy who's a plumber, he's a white guy, Caucasian guy. I've got a couple of my buddies. I've got two or three guys who I was in the military with, and one woman who's an ex-wife of one of the guys, and they're all white. And then I have a guy who's mixed. He's black and I think or Jamaican and British or something, white British. And then I have a guy who is a long term friend who I used to train in the boxing gym, in the Muay Thai gym, and in karate dojos. I used to train with him all the time, and he is as black as they come. And I have no problems with any of these people because I don't give a shit what color somebody is. That's the thing. I don't give a flying fuck as long as I get along with the people. But when people come onto the channel and start talking shit because, well, you know, it's all about this race is this and this. Listen, don't even fucking bring it up. If you don't bring it up, guess what? Then it's not given any importance. And guess what? I don't think, in my opinion, if people stress less about racism, there might be a lot less of it. Because nowadays, especially in America, from what I see on the outside looking in, there's a hell of a lot of people who have forgotten what it's like to be hungry, and who have forgotten what it's like to have a bad life, to be living in a shack somewhere in mud or whatever, or who they're wondering if they have any future. How are they going to survive? How are my kids going to survive? I think there's too many fat cats. There's too many people who have grown complacent. And thus, they decide that they need to bitch and moan about things like this. Now, what I can say is one of my friends has said to me, I still do see racism and discrimination against me. And I believe him. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. Fuck yeah, it exists. And I know, you know, like, and listen, I kind of have a small idea of how it feels because I'm in Thailand and I am discriminated against in some cases. Not always, for sure. Definitely not always. Very, very, really seldom am I discriminated against. But every once in a while, it will happen. And, you know, I'm sure that it's nothing like what some people experience in the United States. But you know what? I think that if you focus on that, then it becomes your focus. If you don't focus on it, then you can focus on other things, more positive things in your life. Now, that's just my opinion. I mean, you know, I don't want to focus on, this Thai is making me pay three times. He's not making me do shit. I don't have to do anything. Okay? In most cases. I have a choice. So, I don't have to give him my money if I think he's going to charge me three times what a Thai would pay. So, there are choices that you can make. Now, are these choices available in the United States? Yes, in some cases. No, in others. But, you know, my point is that when people come onto the channel and they start talking shit about racism, oh my God, it's like, give me a fucking break. You know, really gets on my nerves. So, anyway, I've rambled on long enough. It's been over an hour now, and usually my podcasts are something like 45 minutes. So, until next time, listen, I got Nepal videos going up. I got some other subjects I want to talk about. My book's coming out. It should be out in a couple of days. It's called They Call Me Farang, Short Stories by an American in Bangkok. So hopefully you guys will keep an eye out. I'll put the links up where you can get it once it's available. And that's one good way where you can support me and you're getting something for your money, which is what I like. So until next time, I'm Scott. I'm an American in Bangkok. Chok di lat jerkin mai.